Well, good evening. It's really nice to be with you guys tonight. We've been away for a week or two, you might have noticed. I know a lot of you have been away for a long time because I haven't seen some of your faces for ages. Nice to have you back with us. Yeah, it's good to be back. Officially back next weekend. So we kind of just sneaked in here tonight because we heard there was grub. Under this shirt, there's a t-shirt that says, "We're only here for the food." No, not really. Really great to, I believe one of the elders are leaving tonight or something while we were away. Is that true? Just kidding. Wouldn't miss it tonight, Greg and Laurie. But before we do that, we're going to spend some time in a moment just ministering around that. But I wonder if the home cell, who takes up the collection in this church? Do we still take up offerings? Praise the Lord. Shee. Yeah, well, Lord, we do. As we bring our tithes and offerings tonight, we thank you that we can partner with you. And in so doing, Lord, we declare tonight that you are building your church and the gates of hell will not prevail. We pray that your kingdom would come in this place tonight, in our lives, through the spoken word, through the ministry of your word tonight. Lord, we open up our hearts and say, Lord, give us ears to hear. Man shall not live on bread alone. So tonight we ask for that manna from heaven, that we may feast and that our hearts would be enriched, that our lives would be adjusted, that we would be encouraged and challenged tonight by your word. And God's people said, Amen. Wonderful. Really good to be with you. And next Sunday morning, we're going to be sharing something of what we're feeling for this new year. And it's also nice to see some old friends. I have been popping in during the week. Man, the children's church next door is really looking great. And I think we'll take another month's leave, come back and get another surprise. But it's really great to see what's happening around here. Tonight's a special night in that we are fleshing out very much what the vision God gave to us as a local church. We believe in local church, as you will have come to know by now if you've been with us for a while. And we believe the church exists, that Jesus is building his church so that the lost may hear a message from a community that are living in divine order. And that message is that Jesus loves them and that he left his paradise to walk on this terra firma to bring heaven to earth. We believe in the saving of souls. We believe in the shed blood of Jesus to bring about transformation and miracle of the new birth. We also believe that the local church provides a home where people can be discipled. So that's the second part of the vision, is that this is a place where people can be discipled and grow and mature. And as iron sharpens iron, we all rub off on each other and are being discipled. And then also, the third part of our vision is that from this house, to be like a platform, a springboard, where people can be released into ministry. That we're not hanging on to people till Jesus comes again. But that as people start showing the fruit of and the desire and the call, and there's a witness in the Spirit, there's a sending, which is a great joy to be part of tonight. So as I thought about scripturally how this all fits together, we believe in the saving of souls, the discipling of believers, and the releasing of those into the ministry God has called them, my mind kind of shot through dozens of scriptures that kind of pull that together. But there's one familiar one I would like you to turn to in Acts chapter 13. Well known to all of us. Hawaiians, I trust you know. In fact, your Bible should just fall open around about there. Acts 13. And good for you to see this in the Bible yourself. And if you don't have your Bible with you, just look over someone's shoulder. It is nice, eh? Chapter 13, verse 1. In the church. Say, in the church. I love just those three words. We could go to heaven on them. Because there's a miracle that takes place, that Jesus is building this group of people called His church, His bride. And we believe that in the church, stuff happens. And here we see at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers. And then it lists a whole lot of guys: Barnabas, Simeon, Lucas, Manion, and Saul. So we see that these ministries are in the local church. We believe in that. We believe that authentic ministry is released out of a local church. They are sent. Hands are laid on them. That's the right way. Many are called and sent. Some just bought a microphone and went. We go with the first group. That in the local church there were these gifts. And while they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart. Now, before we get to the set apart, the Holy Spirit said, while they were praying and fasting, was there a booming voice out of heaven? I don't think it's impossible for God to do that. But generally, the way the Holy Spirit works in the New Testament church are through the prophetic gifts and through the stirrings and through the word that comes, that there was a growing sense. So while this passage may make it look like it was a one-time event, I think there was a process of fasting and worshipping. And during this time, you see, Paul and Barnabas weren't sitting in a meeting and suddenly they got pointed out and, oh, hallelujah, you're going to India, and hallelujah, you're going to China. Together, you're going to Indochina. It wasn't like that. They had been prepared by the Holy Spirit for some time. And as this fasting, as there came an agreement in the church, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Who's called them? You need to always remember that God is the one who calls. God is the one who prepares. God is the one who sends. And here they were. They were being prepared for some time. This wasn't a big surprise for them. It wasn't a promotion as much as an extension. They weren't coming to church every week saying, oh, I hope this is the week that we get sent. Oh, I hope this is the week we get released. It was something God was already stirring it in them. I heard a wise man say many years ago that if when the prophetic comes, it doesn't come as revelation. It comes as confirmation. Someone comes and speaks a word over you, set apart and go to such and such a place. You write down the prophetic word. We don't despise prophecy. We put it in our prayer journal. And we start meditating, Lord, is this confirming what you are saying to me? Because God is the one who sends. God is the one who calls. So after they'd fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. It's not just a symbolic laying on of hands, empty hands on empty heads. This is a very real impartation that takes place. Something we take very seriously, as the Bible says, don't lay hands on anyone suddenly. Some people have been trusting God for so long, and every person they can lay hands on their head, they almost go and bald. They've had so many people lay hands on their head, and they think that's going to make a difference. There's a commissioning that takes place that is supernatural, that is spirit birthed. And as the church lay hands on them, that's a holy thing that takes place. I said it already, but let me repeat myself. I've been away for 7 weeks, so I'm allowed to repeat myself. Anyone you come across who claims to have some kind of ministry that they're involved in, a good question, a beginning question is, where were you sent from? I think often we ask the question, who's your covering? Well, I'm struggling to find that in the scripture. I think there is a sense of accountability and a sense of teaming and all that. But covering is not as biblical as sending. But we usually ask, so who's your covering? Instead of, who sent you? Where were you sent from? Let me tell you, anyone who gets sent from this church, we take it very seriously. Didn't just wake up one day after having too much pizza the night before and saw a picture of Greg and Laurie on a motorbike going down a one-way street on the beachfront in Toti and said, oh, here's a good idea, let's send them. Hello? This is a holy thing. Where were you sent from? I don't know why it was all blurry there for a moment. My wife says I must either wear glasses or I mustn't. Thank you, my sweetheart. I just can't see there and I can't see here, so it happens after 40. You go into denial for a few years and you end up reading things upside down and getting confused. Anyway. The two of them, sent on their way by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia and sailed from there to Cyprus. When they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of the Lord in the Jewish temple. I love that. Because Greg and Laurie, I want to just use you as the example here to make this passage alive. God has called you to preach the word of God. That is your calling. That is your purpose. That's why you're being sent. That's the gift and that's the fruit on your life. To preach the word of God. We don't have to go preaching the latest fad or psychology. We just got to preach the word of God. Line upon line. Precept upon precept. Stick with the word and you can never go wrong. Preach the word. Don't only explain it, but just proclaim it. You know, there's a difference between explaining the word and proclaiming the word. Now, with your background, you'll sometimes fall into the explaining part, because that's how you wire it. And there's nothing wrong with explaining the word. But sometimes we've just got to say it as it is. We've got to proclaim. They proclaimed God's word where they went. And this isn't just for those who have hands laid on them and sent out from this place. The Bible says all believers should proclaim the word of God. It reminds me of when Jesus had his inauguration. Remember in Luke chapter 4, he went up to the temple, to the synagogue rather, and they kind of would select somebody to come up and do the daily reading. Well, let's turn there. Let's Luke chapter 4. Let's look in the book. Luke, Matthew, Mark. Been away far too long. Luke. And in verse 16, he went up to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue as was his custom, and he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me. He has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendants and sat down. And the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he said to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at his gracious words. What were they amazed at? His gracious words. This is the Jesus we like. Because he's tiptoeing through the tulips, very sweet, not saying anything to offend anybody, sums up, gets up, reads this passage that was given to him, which is quite an amazing thing, because they would just select someone randomly. Maybe because Jesus had been out of town for a while, they said, "Would you come up?" And Jesus, which was a common name in his day, and read for us today. And then one of the priests would go over and they would select the daily reading. And it just happened to be that Isaiah 61 on that day. And then the person coming up would read the passage, and then they would comment briefly. They'd make a statement like, "Oh, back in Isaiah's day, oh, the wonderful days of the Lord, and the word of God spread." And they'd sit down and everybody would go, "Amen, good word, brother. Thank you very much for your gracious words." Jesus gets up and he summarizes this passage in 8 words. He doesn't give a long speech, just 8 words. And what he says is, "Today, this past scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Wow. And they just, no one spoke like Jesus. He was so gracious. He was so gentle. He was so power. You know, he spoke with authority. And then if you go with me down to verse 25, I assure you, there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time when the sky was shut up for 3.5 years and there was a severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath in the region of Sidon. And there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elisha, the prophet. Yet no one of them was cleansed except Naaman the prophet. To verse 28, all the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up, drove him out of the town, took him to the brow of a hill on which the town was built in order to throw him off the cliff. But he walked right through the crowd and went on his way. Wow. Jesus has just had a taste of the crowds on the one day who's saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, he who comes in the name of the Lord. And a few days later were shouting, crucify him. Free Barabbas and crucify the Christ. Jesus was having his first taste of that. He got up in the synagogue, spoke these, everyone liked him. Oh, good little sermon. Thank you for your little summation at the end. I think I pastored it so well too. Nice little message. Nice and brief. And we got out on time. We all went our way. And there was only one thing wrong with that. It's not always to judge a message on how well it sounded then. It's to just fast forward the button a little bit and see where it's going. Are you with me? The same Jesus that was so popular and so sweet and no one gave such a nice message. Greg, you're getting it. I can see you nodding furiously. All the way down the track, that same group. That's not a prophecy of anyone. I'm just saying, Jesus models something of just preaching. It says the next verse goes on, he carried on preaching the word of God wherever he went. Healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out demons, doing the work of the ministry. A little bit of opposition couldn't slam down. So Greg, and for all of us in this meeting tonight, laying on of hands, commissioning, setting apart, is for the purpose of going to preach the word. And at times, people will say, you've done so well. And at other times, they'll be ready to throw you off the cliff. Are there any cliffs in Toti? I don't know if Toti has any cliffs. And the temptation is to want to back off from doing what God has shown us to do. My encouragement to you tonight, but my encouragement to us, is even if one day we're the flavor of the month and everyone's saying nice things about you, we need to persevere when they don't say such nice things about you. When you misrepresent it, when you lied about, when things are taken out of context, when situations rise that the same people you thought had your back didn't have your back. In times like that, you need to know that God's word is still true. And you still keep on doing what he told you to do. Never doubt in the darkness what he told you in the light. Just keep on doing what he's called us to do. Amen? And then the third picture of sending. So the first was the church in Antioch. The second was Jesus' commissioning and his subsequent ministry in the face of opposition. But it was Peter. If you go to a little bit further down in Luke chapter 5. From verse 1, it says, one day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret with the people around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats and belonging to Simon and asked him to put out a little from shore. And then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch. And Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. And when they done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners on the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. Excuse me. Then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. Beautiful commissioning of the Apostle Peter. Out of humble beginnings into the being the great apostle of God that he was, sent to Israel. Three things quickly from the life of Peter there. First of all, man, we're in good company when we see God called Peter, because that qualifies most of you and me for the job. Isn't it amazing that when Jesus looked at Peter and said, "You come and follow me," he already knew what Peter was going to do. He already knew, he heard the cock crowing and Peter denying him. He already saw Peter in his foolish presumption chopping off that guy's ear in thinking he could defend Jesus. He already saw the betrayal. He already saw the hypocrisy when Paul later rebuked Peter to his face because he'd got into legalism. In spite of all this, Jesus was still confident to call this man. Let me tell you tonight, your confidence comes from God, not from yourself. The second thing we see is that Peter was a fisherman and Jesus had done a very good job at carpentry in his apprenticeship. So when Jesus said, "Put out into the deep," Peter was like, "Oh, here we go. You work with wood. I work with fish. Best you stick with wood. But what the heck. I worked all night and we're tired." And they let down. Sometimes you just obey even when you don't feel like it. Sometimes you just do it to stormer because you know it's the right thing to do. Obedience doesn't have to be this big flutter of angels and whisked up on the wings of eagles and heaven descends. No, sometimes it's just in the midst of not feeling like it, not feeling up to it, not wanting to. You just do it anyway because he spoke a word. And then thirdly, when they pulled up the fish and the boats were so crammed with these fish they were worried they were going to sink, Peter falls down. Suddenly he had a revelation of his own sinfulness in the light of who it was who spoke to him. You know, that's good for all of us from time to time. To live in that knowledge that he's a holy God. And compared to his holiness, our most righteous acts are as filthy rags. The best we can do doesn't add up to much. Sometimes we just need to know that no matter how good and righteous and upright I think I am, If you were given the right set of circumstances and the wrong frame of mind, any one of us could fall into any kind of sin. And it's best we remind ourselves that sin isn't something we do from time to time. It's in our genes. Now, I'm all for the righteousness. And just don't go off now in your mind about, "Didn't you tell us 3 months ago that we're the righteous of God?" I'll get to that. But I think Peter's experience was he had an encounter with Jesus when he realized how holy Jesus was. And that his purest motive was like a filthy rag compared to the righteousness of God. You know why we need that revelation? So we don't slip into being judgmental and legalistic. We need to know that the only good thing about us is what Jesus is. The only good thing about our future is what Jesus can do for us. I want to just come back to you guys. And for the sake of all of us, preach the word in season and out of season. Obey him even when you don't feel like it. Don't be mesmerized by the crowd's praise and salutation. Keep a sober mind, because that will come and go. But what will stay is your deep conviction that he has called you. Know this, that he who called Peter knew everything about him, knows everything about your life. And in those moments of just sensing your own weakness and frailty and humanity, know that he's called you in spite of yourself. And he's called you to catch a large catch of fish. And and in everything you do, and I really want to move away from those three pictures right now. Just give you something the Holy Spirit dropped into my heart. And I said, "Lord, what would be the last parting words? If I could have one thing to say that would sum up someone who's like Greg and Laurie, who've been sons in the house. They didn't get saved here, but they've been sons in the house. There's been a growing, there's been a maturing. And to be sent out, Lord, what is one thing I could say that would, if it was the last thing I could say?" And it's in the words of that song: "To God be the glory. Great things He has done. To God be the glory. When we see people come to know Christ, to God be the glory. You know why people get saved? Because it makes God look better. It makes God look bigger. You know why God keeps you in the midst of your hardships and through your trials and tribulations? Is it just because you're so valuable? No, my friend, there's something much more important than that. It's because He's holy and glorious and mighty and powerful. And on that day when He presents us like trophies before His presence, it's not going to be so the angels can say, oh look, oh, it's going to be so that we fall on our faces and say, God, to You be the glory and the honor and the praise, because everything was for You and for Your splendor. I tell you, it's good to go out of the life of the church for a couple of weeks and get a change of perspective. And you come back in this building and you think, God's given us a lovely facility, but there's only one problem with this facility. It's going to burn when Jesus comes again. Hopefully only then. It's going to burn. It's going to crumble up. It's going to dissolve. And all that's going to remain is the glory that this house brought the King of Glory. The only thing that's going to remain are if souls came to know Jesus because of family. This house represents a family. I know this isn't the church. We're past that. But the house comes together in this building. And all that's going to show for eternity was those people who were saved and discipled out of 10 Harvey Road, when it's burnt and gone and crumbled, all that will remain is, did God get glory? And was His name made greater? Was He exalted and magnified? That would be the parting thing to you and the beginning thing of what we are going into, church. So if you missed that, just come back on Sunday and we'll have a repeat. God deserves the glory. And when we realize that and just stand back and say, oh, Lord, You saved me to make Yourself look good, not me. You gave us this beautiful house, not to make us look good, but because it could be an instrument to bring You greater fame, greater splendor, greater majesty. Greg and Laurie, hope you got something out of all that. There are 3 pictures and an exhortation. Buy the tape. You're on staff today, but next week you have to pay. Just kidding. I first met Laurie when she was in the youth, about, I don't know, 1990s, early 90s. Went on a bus tour with a whole lot of youth and around the Cape doing outreaches and schools and stuff. And there was a call of God in her life, even from those days. It was identified. Later on, she became a youth leader. And then she met this good-looking man to her left. And Greg also, he stands up for God. He's a man of integrity. He is single-minded in his calling. Walking down the beach some 9 years ago, opening his heart to me about feeling like there's a call. Did you think it was going to be 9 years? Well, 8 years of those you spent as a son in the house, and a faithful son. I honor you for that, both of you. When we pray for you now, it's going to be out of a sense that God has done this. But there's some other hearers in this house for me. Some of you I know, and he's going to be angry with me, and he'll probably never come back to this church after I point him out. But Bruce and Karen, you guys are heroes for me. The church doesn't know you, and I'm putting you on the spot, but you just have to stand up because I've mentioned your names now. Just so if, I want the church to have a look at you guys. So stand up. Yeah. And I know you're never going to come back to this church because of what I'm doing, but I'm going to risk it. But I really want to honor this. This is the couple that Greg and Laurie are taking over the church from. They're a couple who have paid the price in sweat equity, love. Their whole lives have poured out into planting a church, a planting of God, that has sprung up to be a beautiful family community. That now they feel the Holy Spirit has stirred them up in their Antioch to be thrust forth into God's purposes. And Greg and Laurie have this wonderful privilege of being thrust out from us to go into that situation and to produce fruit. But I just want to honor you guys for your faithfulness to God, to honor you. Yeah, if we're going to give the Lord a praise, then let's do it. Just a sense of hearing from God. So I want to just thank you. Thank you. And now we're going to pray for you. So elders, Bruce, Karen, any of your team as well, any elders in the house, welcome. We're going to pray for Greg and Laurie. So come up so long with the guys. And then I'm going to ask the church to partner with us in this. It felt good to us in the Holy Spirit. To see them sent forth into the callings of God. That's okay. And where's the handheld? Because we're going to pass over a couple of prayers. Lord, we just thank you for Greg and Laurie for the incredible gift that they have been to HCC. And thank you, Lord, that they're part of your bride. And they've been part of this household. Lord, in these last years, and we just want to commend them to you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we just come to set them apart, laying hands on them, seeing them go out from this place into strength, into blessing, into favor. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Spirit of God, we just come. Just come and confirm your word in their hearts. Just come and confirm your word in your hearts right now.
We thank you, Lord, that you are the one that has set them in place. And Lord, that your word says, Father, that their heritage would remain forever. We thank you, Lord, the heritage that they leave with us. But Lord, we rejoice in the heritage that they take with them to Toti. We pray, Father, for a rich heritage in that place. We pray, Father, that as you have blessed their going from here, Lord, that you would bless their coming there in Toti. And so, Father, we thank you. We thank you for them, Lord, that the gift that they are to your body, the body of Jesus Christ, that, Father, that in Toti, Lord, that there would be lives impacted. We thank you for them in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for what you have given them, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Lord, indeed, we do want to just echo those words. To God be the glory, great things He hath done. But Lord, we have a deep sense tonight that great glory be to the Lord, for great things shall He do. We thank you, Lord. You are building your church. You are giving gifts to your church. Jesus, we thank you for this. We just thank you for Laurie, and we thank you for Greg and his family, Lord. And we just thank you that your enabling spirit indwells them. We thank you, Lord, that you would use them mightily to raise up and to build and to establish your church. We thank you, Jesus, indeed, that you are preparing your church. You prepare your bride. And Lord, we see, Lord, such a great display of humility in Greg and Laurie. We see something of your nature in him, Lord. We see something of an ability to hold things lightly. Oh, Lord, and we thank you that you have planted him in your church as a gift. And we thank you, Lord. Great things. We look forward with anticipation. For your kingdom is an advancing kingdom, never a retreating kingdom. And you are the King of this kingdom. And we hail you as King of Kings this evening, Lord. Thank you that it's under your banner and under your headship that he flourishes, Lord. We thank you that your word says that if he is to humble himself under your mighty hand, you will exalt him. And we thank you. We see that happening. And we just give you all the glory. Thank you, Lord.
Greg and Laurie, I felt just before we came up here, God said to me that you guys are loved. The love of God just be shed upon you tonight. Felt God saying that you're going to be building on the rooftops and building up. There's no more foundation. You're going to be building from the roof and expanding higher. And you guys have put a fingerprint in this church. I've almost seen like a specific wallpaper in this church. And God's saying, take that. Take that to your new home. And there you'll also be loved. You'll find His blessing and His favor upon your lives, your children's lives, like never before. So Father God, I just thank You for this incredible couple that's been part of our lives, that have touched our lives, that has touched this church, that have become friends and family to Greg and Lori. And Lord, as they go, I pray, Father, that You will bless them, that You will prepare the way for them like never before. I pray, Lord, that an explosion will come in Imams and Todi, not because of them, but because of the work that You're doing through them and their church. I pray, Lord, that they'll see Your favor, they'll sense Your Spirit. And I pray that the fire of God will be upon their lives from this day onwards, that they'll never be the same again, that the anointing will go forward, Lord, and there'll be lives that will be changed. I just speak, Lord, to the lost, that there'll be a bunch of lost people, Your children, coming into that church that will be warriors for Christ, that will rise up and will be passionate people in love with God. And I thank You, Lord, that they'll grow and their eldership will grow and their church will grow in Jesus' wonderful, wonderful name. Thank You, Father.
Greg, just at the handover, I think it was last week, and then again tonight, I don't know why I'm always standing in front of you, and I see your hands, and when you hold up your hands, you hold them closed. And I just saw such a wonderful picture that God has put you in that place so that no one would fall through the gaps. And that as you love the people, that each person would find a home in that church. And that I just speak that over prophetically, that not one would fall through the gaps. And so, Father God, I pray that You would just equip this wonderful couple, Lord God, to do just that. I pray, Father God, that You would pour Your peace and Your acceptance over them right now, that, Father God, it's nothing that they have to do, but just to be obedient to the call that You've called them. And that, Lord God, You are more than able to do what You've called them to do. And I pray that You pour Your love and Your mercy over them in Jesus' mighty name.
Just like when the Holy Spirit was poured out at Pentecost, a crowd had gathered, there were 3,000 or more people, and the Lord raised up Peter in that time to speak to that crowd, and 3,000 were added to the number. And I believe in this situation, it's so evident that God has raised you up, you and Lori, for this time. Just like Peter was raised up, and for that moment in history, for the building of His church, so too you and Lori are raised up for now. And so, Lord, we thank You, Father. We thank You that You have anointed them. You have raised them up. It is Your will. Jesus, You are building Your church. And so, Lord, we excitingly send them from this house to continue the work of building Your church, Jesus. We pray, Lord, that they would both stay connected to You, the head of the church. That they would draw from You, Jesus. That from You, Jesus, each and every step they take would be in Your will and for Your glory. And many will be added to the global body of Christ through them and their work, Jesus.
There's an illustration of a tapestry, and on the one side of the tapestry, it's nothing but a mess. There's different colors tied in, different textures, different thicknesses, different everything. And I just felt that as the one color, the string has been cut, and moved to another location to continue the tapestry's look, that we will not see what He sees until we see with Him. And that that this time that you find yourself being hearts moved on, and there's different situations and questions, and even saying, Lord, we're trusting You in this, that You can trust Him, because His picture is of His kingdom being established here on earth. And we have the privilege of being used by His hands to establish His kingdom here on earth. So Lord, we pray, Lord, for every stitch that you place them from now till the rest of their lives, Lord. That, Lord, that you would continue to guide them, for them, their family, everything that is in them, Lord. Lord, we pray for their family, Lord, that they would continue to do this work that you have already started in them, Lord God. We thank you for them, Lord. It is a privilege to send, and it's a privilege to be sent, Lord. All we see is your hand at work, and we give you the glory for that, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, Lord, and remind us, Lord, to continue to pray for them. Amen.
I just feel that what's happening tonight isn't just a good idea and a relocation of an eldership couple, but it's a supernatural thing what's going to happen. The scripture said hands are laid on them to go to a specific area. And the area that God has chosen for Laurie and Greg has been a Mams and Toady. And there's been a mantle on the couple that have been leading, and there's going to come a mantle upon you from this night to take ownership of that area. And I just feel that in no ways must you back down when you feel Satan's going to try and resist you. And I just want to pray into that area because it is a supernatural thing, and I want the agreement of the church for a Mams and Toady, and that Greg and Laurie are going to take what God has ordained for them to take. And it's not going to just be like, let's see how they're going to do as leading a church. Let's stand together with them to take the area that God is sending them into. Let's pray for their girls. Let's pray for this family for a supernatural protection of God over their lives, that Satan will not use any form of sickness or any form of attack to come up against what God has chosen for them to accomplish. Let's just agree together and pray for them. Father, thank you for the area tonight of a Mams and Toady that you have decided that Greg and Laurie should take and just take a hold of. And right now, I come up against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, plans of the enemy. And for your word says we have a right to resist them. And right now, any enemy, any plan that is trying to come up against them, we resist it right now in Jesus' name. And Father, we ask that the kingdom of God would come and invade their lives, and that the kingdom of God would come and invade a Mams and Toady in a supernatural way. We call the people in that area from the north, the south, the east, and the west to come under the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray that the anointing that is going to come upon Greg and Laurie tonight, the mantle that's going to come upon them is going to be one of power, one of authority, and one of a taking a hold of the promises that God has given them. Father, that there be no stepping back from this moment on. In Jesus' name. Father, I pray for a supernatural impartation of courage. A supernatural impartation of divine guidance by the Spirit of God. Father, that they would hear, put your net out here, put your net out there. That they would hear clearly from you. I pray for a supernatural impartation of clarity into their spirits. Father, we pray for even Kirsty and Leah and Katie as they do the relocation thing. Father, supernaturally place them in the right classrooms with the right children. Father, that their environment would be created by you and by the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, Lord, we agree with that. Praise God. You had a haircut for tonight, Greg. Hey, lovely, man. And folk, some of you came with words for them. Please don't leave without writing those down. We value those. Just a matter of time here that we can't have everybody share. I'm sure there's lots of other words equally as encouraging for them. Write that down. And then we are now going to do what Christians all do the best at. You wouldn't say, judging from our near-perfect bodies, that, Trevor. We're going to eat together. We're going to celebrate them and what God's called them to. So please share this with them. Lord, we thank you for this food. We thank you for this night. We thank you that this marks such an exciting